Why Marry? A Comedy in Three Acts by Jesse Lynch Williams. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Why Marry? A Comedy in Three Acts. Narrated by Elizabeth Klett. New York, Astor Theatre, produced by Selwyn and Company, December 25, 1917, under the direction of Roy Cooper McGrew. The scene is a weekend at a country house not far away. The time, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. The people at the house, as you meet them.
Jean, the host's younger sister who has been brought up to be married and nothing else. Read by Ariel Lipshaw.
Rex, an unmarried neighbor who has not been brought up to be anything but rich. Read by John Fricker.
Lucy, the hostess, who is trying her best to be just an old-fashioned wife in a new-fashioned home. Read by Katine.
Uncle Everett, a judge who belongs to the older generation and yet understands the new and believes in divorce. Read by Algie Pug.
Cousin Theodore, a clergyman and yet a human being who believes in everything except divorce. Read by Dennis Smith.
John, who owns the house and almost everyone in it, and does not believe in divorce. Read by Marty Chris.
Helen, the host's other sister, whom everyone wants to marry, but who doesn't want to marry anyone. Read by Avai.
Ernest, a scientist, who believes in neither divorce nor marriage, but makes a great discovery. Read by Matthew Rhys.
The Butler, read by David Lawrence.
Advance Notice by the author. Jesse Lynch Williams, read by Elizabeth Klett.
A Most Estimable Lady, read by Iswa.
Bachelor's Niece, read by Dana Meulinger.
One afternoon, shortly before the New York opening of this comedy, a most estimable lady sat down to make me a cup of tea.
"Now, do tell me, what is your play about?"
she inquired with commendable enthusiasm, for, being a true woman, she had early achieved the becoming habit of letting members of the superior sex talk about themselves. "Why Marry," said I, "tells the truth about marriage."
"Oh, why?"
she expostulated.
"Why write unpleasant plays?"
"But it is not unpleasant."
"Then it is untrue,"
she exclaimed.
"That is, I mean, did you say cream or lemon?"
And in the pause which accompanied the pouring of the cream, I detected the look of one realizing too late that it is always better to think before speaking. This little incident, it seemed to me, epitomizes charmingly the attitude of our nicest people toward our fundamental institution. The truth about marriage must be unpleasant. Therefore, tell us something we know isn't true. It will be so much nicer for our young people. It is to be feared, however, that young people who go to see Why Marry in the hopes of being shocked do not get their money's worth. I have heard of but two persons who have been scandalized by this play, and they were both old people. One was a woman in the country who had not seen it, but had read the title, and so wrote several indignant letters about it. The other was an elderly bachelor of the type which finds useful occupation in decorating club windows like geraniums. He took his niece to see it, and, deciding at the end of Act Two that the play was going to be unpleasant in Act Three, took her home at once. The next afternoon she appeared at the matinee with a whole bevy of her own generation and saw the rest of the play. I asked her later if it had shocked any of them.
"Oh, no,"
she replied.
"We are too young to be shocked."
That little incident also struck me as socially significant. There never were two generations inhabiting the same globe simultaneously with such widely separated points of view. For several years after this play was first published, no theatrical manager on Broadway would produce it. I don't blame them. I want to thank them for it. I doubt if this sort of thing could have appealed to many theatre-goers then, especially as my young lovers are trying to be good.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?